You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
A couple of years ago, our family drove up to Montana to visit Glacier National Park. And of course, we couldn't go to Glacier without stopping in Kalispell to see members of the Fountains and longtime superintendent of Glacier National Park, Phil Iverson, and his wife, Pat. As Phil passed away last month, I've been thinking about all the ways I miss his enthusiasm for life and his passionate advocacy for a rational faith and issues of fairness and inclusion, especially for LGBTQ rights. You really missed it if you missed seeing a 90-year-old Phil Iverson go after some unsuspecting person who dared suggest that LGBTQ folks shouldn't be treated with the same respect and dignity and have the same rights as any other human being. That being said, one of the things Phil was really proud of was his friendship with fellow Montanan Eugene Peterson. Peterson is the pastor and author who wrote the popular paraphrase of the Bible called The Message, a version I use all the time. It's got a great way of bringing some of the Bible's more stilted language down to earth. Peterson was pretty conservative socially and never came around to accepting LGBTQ folks in the church. But Phil persisted in his efforts to convince him otherwise and told me, "David, if you ever make it up to Montana, let me know so I can introduce you to Eugene Peterson." Well, sure enough, no sooner did we arrive in Kalispell than Phil said, "We're meeting Eugene in an hour, so let's go." So I got to meet Eugene Peterson at his lakeside home. And while he wasn't well, he died just a few months after we met, we had a good visit. And as Phil and I drove home, we congratulated ourselves on having not brought up LGBTQ rights for the whole conversation, which was not easy for either of us. At any rate, when I read Peterson's version of a passage like our passage today, I'm reminded again of what a gift it was to actually meet this man who had such a talent for cutting straight to the point and setting otherwise stuffy language into memorable turns of phrase. I love what Peterson did with our passage today, especially his nod to that old Cyndi Lauper tune, True Colors. Hey, it says, "Don't get bent out of shape when life is full of challenges. Know that the times you are tested is a gift when your true colors are shown. So embrace the tough times as opportunities for your faith and life to be honed in ways that lead to growth and maturity."
Our words of wisdom today are from James 1, 2 through 4, the Message version. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you can become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
As all of us live into this coronavirus reality, our different life experiences, our outlooks, and our circumstances all contribute to us showing, as our passage says, our true colors. And also, as our passage says, the challenges we face are not something to run away from or try to deny, but are, in fact, a gift for those of us who are wise enough to pay attention. So today I wanted to take advantage of the collective wisdom of some people who I think have been paying attention and who, as James suggests, see elements of this difficult time as a gift to be embraced. So with thanks in advance to Peggy, Sally, Bob, Beth, and Dean, here are some inspiring words from some of your fellow sojourners through this extraordinary moment in our lives.
Your true colors are beautiful.
See you.
Peggy, why don't you introduce yourself and who you are and what you do and how long we've known one another, which is...
We've known one another for decades.
That's like almost 30 years now, I think.
It's been a long time. You and I met in terms of when we were organizing and creating No Longer Silent, Clergy for Justice, and have kind of gone on from there. So that was a wonderful way to start our friendship.
Yeah, and you have always been, you're part of a Presbyterian dynasty. with your dad being one of the go-to clergy leaders in Phoenix through mm-hmm. the mid-century. So you've got in that reputation.
Yeah, he just passed. He would have been 90 years old on April 30th. So,
oh my.
Wow. We kind of passed that milestone.
Yeah. Well, what is it that you're doing these days?
I'm hanging out here at the Beatitudes, except for the couple of days that I work from home. And so I'm the Senior Vice President for Spiritual Life here at the Senior Living Community on Glendale and 17th. And I've been here about 10 years. So I'm very blessed to be present during this time with this community.
Or what do you and the staff find yourself doing professionally most of the time during this lockdown?
I have to say that I'm doing a lot of listening. A lot of listening. Can't rely on the normal pastoral visits where we go in and are present with people in person. So a lot of phone calls, some visits, and really just trying to be encouraging and helpful to people as they continue to struggle. And it's a struggle.
Well, what do you find yourself, not necessarily as a professional religious presence, but, you know, just for you, Peggy Roberts, you know, wife, mother, human being, what are you struggling with? What are you working on? What have you kind of been thinking of spiritually in the last few weeks?
I end up hearing a lot of the undercurrents of the heartbreaking stories and feelings that people have. And so my last sermon was talking about how do we make sense out of suffering? That age-old question. Mm-hmm. And I've had people ask, you know, why is God doing this? And is he trying to tell us something? Is this the end of the world? I mean, people are very fearful, mm-hmm. Which is understandable. And so I've been finding myself thinking again about those questions of, you know, how does that fit with the God who I believe in, who doesn't inflict a pandemic to teach us something? Mm-hmm. That's not the God that I believe in. I believe in a God who cares for us desperately and wants the very best for us, and certainly would not teach us in this way. We've been trying to explain why bad things happen to good people for centuries, and we don't do a very good job of it usually. So we can be very good people and do everything right, and we still have pain and difficulties and suffering in life. So I don't know, that's a lot of what my mind and heart have been focused on and struggling with.
Do you have an answer?
I do not. If I had an answer to that, no, I don't have an answer. I just have to continue to reaffirm what I do believe about God. Mm-hmm. I mean, it'd be easy if we just thought that God didn't care, then that explains mm-hmm. why God doesn't care and bad things happen to good people and people mm-hmm. suffer. But I believe that God does care, and that God is very present with us and helps us to make sense out of the suffering, even though it may be decades from now
down
that
the
we
road.
Look back at this mm-hmm. time and have some, not sense of understanding, but are able to celebrate even the joy that can come out of suffering.
Wow. Well, I was going to ask you if you have any advice for people going forward, but I think that's it. Hey, well, thanks so much for taking a few minutes to share with me and with the folks at the Fountains. And
hello, folks at the Fountains. I have always enjoyed my visits with you.
Yeah. So we're grateful for your continued support of what we're doing out here. And say hey to Maddie and Matt for me and for all of us.
I will do so. God bless and stay well.
Thanks, Peggy. Talk to you later.
All right.
Your true colors are beautiful.
I'm Bob Rubin. We're presently in Fountain Hills, and we'll be in Fountain Hills probably for about the next 3 to 4 weeks before we head back to Illinois.
Yeah. The spiritual front, what have you been putting your mind to as you've seen all of this unfold?
Well, one thing, of course, we're very thankful for the medical professions, for the people who working in the grocery stores, driving buses, and that sort of. But wouldn't it be interesting, or it is interesting, to think about Jesus in his spiritual form, walking around saying, a little injustice floating around here. what are we going to do about this? And a lot of things will unfold, I think, in the next few years. But it's, you know, a mammoth problem. But it's certainly being brought to the front as we look at what's happening with the pandemic, who's suffering the most, where the deaths are. And so the injustices are easy to see right now.
Yeah, so when you see those injustices and know that they're happening and that they're kind of baked into our system, where does that lead you to think? What does that inspire you to do or prepare for?
I'll go back, David. I'm probably not responding to either prepare or what to do, but Dee and I both experienced many years ago in the late 60s, early 70s, a tremendous influx of people from the kids from the south side of Chicago, very poor, very much out of the mainstream of the white suburban area that we have been in. I would say it took us anywhere from a month to 2 to 3 to 4 or 5 years to the system in sync, if you want to say it that way, with the kids that we were serving. And I use it as an exceedingly small example of what can be done. It takes a lot of work, and I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on whoever might be sitting in the White House or other places of authority and over the next 10, 15, 20 years to really try to come up with something. That being said, we've been working on it for Pete's sake, and look at the and going to go away that quickly, but I think there'll be some big changes, some positive changes that will take place in our society out of this pandemic.
So it's a message of hope even in the midst of all of the struggle.
Absolutely. There's no doom and gloom coming from us in this household at all, but knowing it's a very serious challenge.
Yep. So what kind of advice would you want to give people moving forward?
Oh, I think without a doubt, we need to stay vigilant. We're just in this pandemic thing. We need to continue to stay vigilant, need to be safe. We need to follow these guidelines, the well-instructed guidelines that we know of, and not look forward as much as we want to coming to church next Sunday in our house of worship. We need to take this thing slowly, and we continue to appreciate the fact that we do have our services on the internet and we're able to get our Sundays.
Well, thank you, Bob. I so appreciate your continued encouragement of so many people and your work through all the various ways that you support people and are there for people in Fountain Hills and back home in Illinois and in so many different ways. You are an inspiration to me, so thank you.
Thank you, dude. My pleasure. Be safe.
Your true colors are beautiful.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. I'm Sally Lloyd, better known as Kim Bartman's mother, or Eliana's grandmother. And I've been in Fountain Hills for just a few years full time. My husband died about 4 years ago, and I ended up staying here afterwards. And at the Fountains, I've been working with the youth groups. I went with the group 2 summers to Salee on the Navajo Nation for SSP. That was a wonderful experience. I've been involved with Stephen Ministry for quite some time. And I also do some of those hosting and cleanup closing things when I'm needed.
Well, what do you find yourself occupied doing during this shelter at home and lockdown time?
Well, it started out, I was happy because I'm pretty much an introvert. And I thought, wow, I'm going to have all this time just to do what I want. And then I started getting involved in a ton of Zoom meetings, and I kind of got Zoom fatigued. I think one day I had 3, and that same week I had several every day. So it got to be more than I thought I needed. And I was also, however, in between Zooming, I was finding that I, even though I liked the quiet time, I was starting to get a little bit depressed. I would sleep a ton more than I needed. Found the refrigerator was my friend, and escaped into Hallmark movies and Golden Girls and
reruns.
Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah.
So that's how I started out. And actually, just until maybe the last few days, I found that I was struggling with being able to make sense of this and find a way through it. It seems like most of the time I was not in a good spot, but just in the last few days, I have to say, there's been a few sparks of maybe hope or future plans, seeing maybe the light at the end of the tunnel, in spite of also feeling a deep concern and kind of agony over what I read in the news, which I do follow the news every day. Mm-hmm. And I've also been trying to do some things for good. And I have been able to do those from the beginning, helping financially with some relatives and causes. And sending some prayer arrows to so many people who are really in need.
Yeah. So what do you find yourself processing? You've been struggling and maybe a little spark of hope now, but over these weeks and months, what have you kind of been thinking about in the spiritual realm that maybe have been a new learning for you or an aha?
You know, I've been really just kind of trying to process what my life has been and what I want it to be in the future. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we've all been awakened even more than we may have realized before to the great needs that are out there. And even though I've always felt like my spirituality was focused a lot on social justice, it's even stronger feeling now. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm feeling a new dedication to that and obviously seeing a greater need.
If you had any advice to give people as they are making their way through this time, you have any hints or pearls of wisdom?
Oh, I don't think they're pearls of wisdom. My pearls have been my pearl green tea. And I think one of the things that had been the most helpful for me was the amount of time I've started spending outside. And I have some wonderful neighbors that are in the animal realm who now have names. Little Lizzie, the orange-headed desert spiny lizard, and some woodpeckers and rabbits. Focusing, though, on the beauty outside, breathing the fresh air, have really helped. And then in addition, just time alone and deep breathing. I mean, all of those, I think, have helped nurture my inner self.
Thanks so much for sharing today.
You're very welcome, and I wish you all the best of health.
Yes. Be well. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Your true colors.
I'm Beth Dyer, and I am the church council chairperson for the Fountains. Also have, well, let's just put it this way. I've been at the Fountains for 20 years, 20 plus years, and have held a variety of positions there, enjoyed all of them equally, but currently church council chair. I live by myself, so it's been interesting because I think of myself as an extrovert. But have actually kind of come to enjoy the solitariness of this in some ways that I did not think I would. So that's been, you know, some introspection there in terms of who am I and just realizing some things that maybe I didn't realize about myself before.
You know, what questions have you been turning over in your head? What have you been?
I think probably, this is like, what, week 8 of this, give or take. Mm-hmm. And initially, I think I had a lot of fear. I was fearful. I have a lot of underlying condition things. I'm practically of the age that's really risky. And I had a lot of fear and kind of, you know, I'm also like you, a wannabe Buddhist, you know, so I kind of explored, what did it mean to let go of that fear, to just right. kind of live with the fact, and also to recognize that, hey, we're this vulnerable all the time. It's just that we actually recognize it right now. That was kind of a revelation.
It's in our face now more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so what did that mean to have it be more of a conscious thing as opposed to just something that I had always lived with, knowing that, hey, you can walk in front of a bus one day and that'll be it, you know, but now it just seems somehow more relevant. So I spent the first time part of this, you know, feeling that way, thinking about those things. And then I would say more recently, I've been focused like on perspective and how really I do get to choose how I look at things, how I hold my world. Mm-hmm. And it's a real luxury because I think I'm super fortunate in that I'm not worried about where my next meal is coming from. Is there a roof over my head? Am I clothed? You know, those things, I have the luxury of not having that be my primary focus. And it gives me time to reflect on how am I perceiving this? Do I perceive this time as an opportunity to, you know, to grow? Or do I perceive it as a time of lack? Like, oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. And just to watch myself flux between the two. I mean, it's not like I just choose one perspective and stay there. You know, I have certain perspective maybe when I get up, and by the end of the day, that perspective may have changed.
Right.
I mean, I certainly have focused this whole time on meditating more, and because I think meditation is super healthy. And in meditation, they really stress to be curious. And so rather than judgmental, so I've kind of attempted to insert a lot more curiosity about how I might hold something or perceive something, mm-hmm. As opposed to self-judgment. And, mm-hmm. you know, like everyone, I think I've put on the COVID-15 and it's like super
only 15, huh?
Yeah. That's exactly what someone else said to me. They're like, oh, you're lucky. That's all. That's great. You know?
Yeah.
But it's,
so what do you use for meditation? Do you use an app or some sort of guided meditation process?
I use the Calm app, and I also have one called Insights that I use. Mm-hmm. And I've been known sometimes, I'm a big fan of Tara Brach, who is a, you know, a meditator.
Right.
And so I can go on YouTube and just sometimes listen to some of her stuff. And I have kind of a 10 or 15 minute limit. It's not something I do for hours. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I did that helped me to be kind of, I wouldn't say I'm quite religious about it, but I'm pretty consistent. And one of the things I heard somebody say on some show, get up, get in the chair and meditate. And so really I do it before I brush my teeth, before I have coffee, before I do pretty much anything. I just get up, get in a chair and do it. Yep. And that has helped me to kind of adopt it as more of a practice. I used to have more of like, well, I'll wait till I have 10 minutes, but you know, I never would get to the 10 minutes during the day. So now I'm better at it.
Yeah, that's helpful for me too, because if I don't do it first thing in the morning, it's not happening. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Hey, so going forward, would you have any words of advice for people?
I think the other thing I have kind of recognized about myself that would lead me to give these words of advice is that it's kind of like you're ready when you're ready, or it comes, things become the thing to do when you're open to them, and you can't necessarily dictate that. You know, within the first month, it was like all these things that I attributed to my inability to do certain things, like, well, I travel, so it's super hard for me to have a healthy diet, or it's really hard for me to have good time management because I'm catching planes here and there. I got all this, you know, I had all this list of things. All of a sudden those things are gone and still I have all those same issues.
Yeah.
So it was just like in my face that, hey, it isn't really about all that stuff. It's just, you know, whether I'm ready, you know, I'm ready and whether I can, you know, move forward. And then just to go easy on myself and say, when you're ready, you'll be ready. And you may never be ready to do certain things. That's okay. You know, it's just, that is the way it is.
Yeah.
So
great. Hey, well, thanks as always for your steadiness and your presence and your willingness to be there for people.
Anytime.
I know folks are really going to be glad to see you and hear you. And I know all of us are going to be glad to get back together in person sometime soon.
Definitely. Looking forward to that for sure.
All right.
Thank you.
Your true colors.
My name is Dean Sorensen, and I'm in Sioux Falls, South Dakota this morning, which is our summer residence. Rita and I are snowbirds in Fountain Hills in the wintertime, have been for 25 winters. And all of those 25 winters, we've been honored to be able to worship on Sundays at the fountains. And we'll be back in the fall.
And we're grateful for your mellifluous voice leading us first service on Sunday. So,
and you asked me about, you know, what I've learned and spiritually what I've learned. I guess spiritually what I've learned is that I need to be more involved. And the way I've tried to do that is I've tried to just take the mode that if somebody asks me to do something, I just say, yeah, I'll make time to do that. Why not? I've got all the time in the world. So when you called me, I wanted to do this. I'd never done a Zoom meeting until a month ago, and I've probably done 20 Zoom meetings now, and I have a group of friends that Zoom every morning. I don't join them every morning, but they're around the country. But I had one man who was going to start a podcast service, and he called me up and he said, "It's, you know, I had this long career of working and never thought I worked a day of my life and loved the people and loved the relationships." And so I'd met him years ago. And he said, "I'm going to do a podcast, and I'd like to have you do the first podcast." And I was afraid he was going to probably label it something like, "An old guy tells what he can still remember," which ain't much. We had a nice, delightful visit for an hour. Uh-huh. And I didn't know, but he released it almost immediately. And my email box and my phone started ringing all over the country. So I've had the great honor of reconnecting with at least a dozen friends, many I had not talked to for a year.
So your advice to people would be, say yes, because there are opportunities to be enriched in ways that you never would have imagined.
I thought I was going to help out a couple people, and I've been enriched in return many fold. manifold.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing. And I know people at the Fountains will be glad to see you and hear that you and Rita are doing well. And we look forward to seeing you in the fall.
We look forward to seeing you, and we wish you all a safe, healthy summer.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We'll your true colors are beautiful.
I mean, you brought up my dad early on when I was going through seminary. One of the questions he would always ask me is, especially when he knew I was struggling with something, he would always say, "Peg, what's your joy level?"
Hmm.
And somehow that always kind of refocused my sense of I'm focusing too much on this other stuff, and that's not what's really important. What's really important is, where do I find my joy?
So, Peg, what's your joy level today?
My joy level is pretty good today, I have to say. I'd say a good, robust 7.
Out of 100?
No, out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah, that's an important scale.
Yeah. Whatever challenges you find yourself facing during these difficult times, I hope that you too can find hope and promise in the midst of it all. Listening, resisting the urge to see this test of our character and society is a bad thing. But to see this time as an opportunity to address the shortcomings of how we've shaped our lives together, and that taking action to change the world for the better is a tribute to the tragic loss of so many lives, to rededicate our energies to new practices and new causes that heal both our spirits and our world, and to always, always say yes. You never know just how enriching those simple acts of involvement might be in the long run. Thanks again to Peggy, Sally, Bob, Beth, and Dean. May all of us embrace this time as an impetus to see our true colors and work together to make Jesus' call on our lives real in the world. Be well.
Your true colors are beautiful like a rainbow.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information or to support this outreach with a donation, visit www.weputlovefirst.org.